Well, good morning again. Let's have a word of prayer as we bring today's passage before the Lord. Lord, as we gather today again just to reflect on your word, we thank you for the book of Hebrews, Lord. We thank you that we can learn so much about who you are and how important you are. And we do pray that you'd continue to speak through the book into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, this morning we want to begin a study in verses 5 through to 18 of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews. I'm going to read it. It's quite a long passage, but I trust that by the time we get to the end of it, you'll have understood some of the wonderful gems contained in this passage. It says, "It is not to angels that he has subjected the will to come, about which we are speaking. But there is a place where someone has testified, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him. You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor and put everything under his feet. In putting everything under his feet, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Yet, at present, we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus." This is where I got my title or the theme for this book of Hebrews. "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He said, 'I will declare your name to my brothers in the presence of the congregation. I will sing your praises,' and again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again he says, 'Here I am, and the children God has given me.' Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Adam's descendants. For this reason he had to make he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in God's servant, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Yesterday in my devotion, I spoke about false prophets, those who are trying to attract people by telling them to claim something from God, like God is some dispensing machine waiting to give them the desires of their hearts. The sad reality is that most of the false prophets or false promises offer material blessings, or status, or power. There doesn't seem to be much reference to God's will or God's purposes in their false claims. And so many of the promises seem to be conditional to you fulfilling the wishes and desires of the false prophets first. I found it very ironical that while I was typing the devotion, every time I typed the word false to talk about false prophets, the predictive text on my phone wanted to automatically type false promise. That's the sad reality. Sad reality is, friends, false prophets are making false promises. When we come to a passage like this in the book of Hebrews, and we discover all that God wants for us, why would you want to take second best that the false prophets are teaching? In this passage today, we're going to discover, first of all, what our true creation destiny was. Then we're going to discover what our future destiny is. And thirdly, we're going to discover how we regained our destiny through what Christ has done. I've called this message, The Glorification of Christ, for his role in helping us recapture our destiny. I'm going to split this message over a couple of weeks at least, maybe even three. The more I get into this passage, the more as I kind of try and explain it, the more I realize there's just too much information for one sermon. It may be 2 weeks, but most likely even three. So today I want to start with the first of those things that I said I want us to do. I want us, Christian, to discover what our true creation destiny was from this passage. So first of all, what is the creation destiny of humanity? Well, there are a number of things that we're told. First of all, humanity was destined to be in the mind of God. Verse 6 says, But there is a place where somebody has testified, What is man that you are mindful of him? This verse is quoted out of Psalm 8, which is what we call an anthropomorphic psalm. To put it simply, it's a psalm which describes God using human body parts or emotions. So what is man that you are mindful of him? The original Hebrew word translated man is the word enosh, and it literally means a frail man. Friends, the writer of the Hebrew is writer to the Hebrews is reminding us that in fact we are extremely weak and frail. We may think we are strong, but in reality, friends, we are but dust. Or as some verses describe us, we are like grass or like the flowers, here today, but gone tomorrow. Just how strong are we? Well, let me use an illustration. It's a little graphic. Imagine if you had a hammer and you took the hammer and you knocked a big 10-pound hammer. And you knocked a solid piece of steel with it. What's going to happen? Well, it's going to shake you through to the core of your body. It's going to ring and ricochet. If you take the same hammer and you bang it against a piece of concrete, well, it's going to give a little bit. It may give you the shocks, but the concrete's also going to crack. If you take the same hammer and you smash it against the ground, again, you may kind of feel the jolt of it. Now, friend, how strong is human? If you take the same hammer and you hit a human with it, what's going to happen? Kaput. Friends, the point is this. God is mindful of you. Little old you, or little young you, Friends, you are important to God. You're not an accident of history or some random collection of chemicals giving rise to the difficult-to-believe theory of evolution. Friend, God had you in mind, as frail and as weak as you are. You were made with a purpose. Friend, I hope you'll grasp that. You're not a nobody. You're somebody who God has made. Let me remind you out of Ephesians, in verse 3-6 of chapter 1, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ in accordance with his good pleasure and will, and to the praise of his glorious praise, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." Friend, God made you. Genesis 1 verse 27 says, "So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." Friends, you were destined, your creation destiny is to be in the mind of God. You're not an afterthought. You are thought of by God with a purpose, and with a direction, and with a reason that God knows and God created you for. Number two, humanity was destined to be in contact with God. Verse 6 carries on, it says, "But there is a place where somebody has testified, 'What is man that you are mindful of him? The Son of Man, that you care for him.'" The word translated as "care for" literally means to be visited. Friends, God wants to visit us. God wants to be in contact with us. He doesn't want to be one that is far away. Friend, God has promised to be with us on all occasions. So many of the gods of this world, friends, seem to be very absent, but our God is present at all times. Right throughout the scriptures, God promises to be with us. In Genesis chapter 26 and verse 3, God says to Isaac, "I will be with you." In Genesis chapter 31 and verse 3, God says to Jacob, "I will be with you." In Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12, God says to Moses, "I will be with you." In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, God says to Joshua, "I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you." In Judges chapter 6 and verse 16, God says to Gideon, "I will be with you." In 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 38, God says to Solomon, "I will be with you." In Isaiah 43 and verse 2, God says to Israel, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you." In John 13, verse 33, Jesus says to us, "My children, I will be with you only for a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come." But in John verse 14 and verse 16, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. Friends, our creation destiny is to be in contact with God. God did not create us to abandon us. He created us, friends, to have fellowship with us. We are social beings because we are made by a tri-united God. I saw this yesterday. A group of ladies came to our house to reveal who was which Pollyanna. The event started at 3 o'clock. Well, folks started arriving by 20 past 2 already because, you know, they hadn't been together for a long time. 20 past 2. I thought, well, they'd be finished by 4 o'clock. Well, at 5:30, I had to go into the room there and say, yeah, this group of people just are talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. Friends, why? Because we created to be in contact. Part of, friends, our creation destiny is that God wants to be in contact with us. Number 3. Humanity was destined, our creation destiny is to be on earth. Verse 7 says, but you made him a little lower than the angels. Many have misunderstood this phrase a little lower over the years. As you read the passage, the initial impression that is that humanity are lesser beings when compared to the angels. You know, if you consider their capacities, one may be tempted to come to that conclusion. However, friends, the phrase a little lower can also refer to a spatial dimension. You see, the angels are in the heavenlies, and us humans are in the earthlies. To understand this, you just need to look a little further on at verse 9. What does verse 9 say? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor. You see, friends, Jesus could never and was never lower than the angels in a value perspective. Only in a spatial perspective. For a while, Jesus walked the face of this earth. Many have questioned the significance of earth in terms of our whole universe. The more we understand about the universe, the more our minds are filled with awe and wonder. I love looking at these things a little bit. Who are we in the grand scheme of things? After all, they've even got a little car riding around on Mars at this point in time. Friends, whatever the case, Earth has a very special place in Revelation. The Bible is full of references about the glory and the wonder of Earth. When it comes to the book of Revelation, it speaks of a new creation. And what does it say? It says a new heavens, everything above us, all the universe and everything like that, and a new earth. Friends, the rest of the heavenlies, in my humble opinion, are in the same breath connected to the earth. Friends, our destiny is to reign on earth. Look after it. Number four. Humanity was destined to have worth and value. Verse 7 says, you made him a little lower than the angels, and you crowned him with glory and honor. One of the things that made apartheid not only a crime against humanity, but friends, also a sin in the eyes of God, was that the system devalued the worth of people made in the image of God. The crazy thing is that the creators of the apartheid system based their beliefs on the word of God. Oh, how that must have broken God's heart. Using his very word that gives value to people to destroy their value. You see, friends, any system, from Hitler to communism to the caste system in many Asian countries to the class system in European countries, any system that puts one person against another is in direct conflict to the description of humanity found in this verse. You crowned him with glory and honor. The meaning there, friends, is that people have value. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 and 10. It says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Friends, humanity was destined to have worth and value. You, friend, are worthy, worth something. You are valuable in the eyes of God. Number five, humanity was destined to rule the world. Verse 7 and 8 says, you made him a little lower than the angels and crowned him with glory and honor, and you put everything under his feet. In putting everything under him, God left nothing that is not subject to him. Friends, the task of ruling the world is one of the first tasks given to Adam and Eve at the creation of the world. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, 2 to 30, it says, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock of all the earth and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every living creature that moves in the ground. Then God said, I give every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that is fruit with seed in it. They'll be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the earth, everything that has breath and life in it, I give every green plant for food. And so it was. Friends, as custodians of the earth, we must be motivated to look after the earth, not only because we have a responsibility to leave an inheritance for our grandchildren and our children. We must do so, friends, because we've been created by God and he is going to hold us accountable for our actions in the way that we've looked after that which he created. Finally, this is the most important one of all. Friends, we were created and destined to be in the mind of God. We were destined to have contact with God. We were destined to be on the earth. We were destined to have worth and value. We were destined to rule the world. But here's the most important one, verse 5. It is not to angels that he has subjected the world to come, about which we are speaking. This is the sixth one. Friends, humanity is destined to be the recipients of salvation. You see, of all of the things that make us different from the angels, the greatest is this one. Only we can experience the forgiveness of our sins. Friends, you don't know how valuable that is. We have the capacity to know salvation. We have the capacity to be forgiven. Listen to what Peter has to say in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 through 12. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with great care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told by those that have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. What an incredible passage. What Peter's trying to say is that in times gone by, the writers of the Old Testament, friends, they were writing prophetically about Christ, but they didn't fully understand it. But we have the wonder, friends, of knowing Jesus and knowing his forgiveness. But look at what it says at the end of verse 12. Even the angels long to look into these things. Friends, we were destined to be the recipients of salvation. No other creature in this world, friends, can know God's forgiveness. No other creature can experience salvation. Only us as human beings can experience the salvation we find in Christ. Now, next week or the week afterwards or the next few whiles, I'm going to look at, friends, what that salvation does for us. And then, most importantly, what has Jesus done to bring that salvation to us? But friends, you were destined. You were created for a purpose. Let me remind you, you are worth something. You have the capacity to receive salvation. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, friend, today is the day of salvation. Ask God to forgive you, and you will know a joy that no other creature can ever experience. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you've given us a destiny. You've made it possible for us, Lord, to experience things that nobody else can. Help us to live up to your destiny. In Jesus' name we pray that. Amen. Well, Lord bless you again as you go in through the rest of this day.